Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the Lisa Experience, second edition. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. It's going to be a wonderful night. We're going to sit back and enjoy ourselves and listen. Tonight is about Black women. I hope that we take about how Black women are and moving forward, how we're going to become and going to be. And we're going to leave the past, stay a little bit in the present, and we're going to move forward in the future. I'm Lisa once again for the Lisa Experience. I'm so delighted to be able to have this show. I want to bring out to everyone different views on men, women, children, family, what's going on in the world, what's going on in, around us. I would like for you to just keep tuning in, and I hope that it gets better and better as time go by. And I want to let everyone know that without you is no me, and I'm always going to be my best because of you. Tonight, I want to talk about Black women. As you've seen, Chaka Khan said, I'm every woman, it's all in me. And that's the way it's always been. Black women, we've always been everything. We're the foundation of the family. We're the ones that get up early in the morning before anyone gets up, and we start breakfast, and we start getting the house together, and we start getting the kids together, and we start preparing ourselves for work. And then we get everybody out, and then we do us. And then when we do us, we come back again, and then we have to go, come back home, and do the same thing all over again. Cook, clean, take care of the children, listen to the children, listen to where we whatever relation and who we would, the specific other or our husband. This is us. Every woman, it's all in us. It's all in us to make the world go around. We're the ones. We're the ones that make it happen. We're the ones that people call when they're feeling down. We're the ones that lift the people up. We're the ones that making you know that you're the best that you can be. We're the ones that keep the home together. And keep it that when you walk in, you know that you finally away from being outside for all the hustle and bustle, and you can relax. And you can relax with your family because your woman made a home for you that you could feel safe in. I'm every woman. It's all in me. Do whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do. But as we look back in time, it wasn't really that way for us. We had it hard back in the day. You know what I mean? Men was more controlling. We didn't have a voice. They felt they could do whatever they wanted to do to us. You know what I mean? We couldn't work. Society didn't allow us to work. We didn't have our own money. We had to depend on a man to give us whatever he needed. We needed to make it. Some gave us some didn't. We said we had children, didn't know if we could make it. And we just wasn't the women that we needed to become. But we still had inside of us being every woman. It's just that we was being held back by society. And that's back, going back. But moving forward, we don't have that no more. We could go to work, or we could stay home, or we can have our own employment. We can be our own entrepreneur. You know what I mean? We could start our own business. We could be a single mom. We could be a married mom. We could be a mom to other people's children. We can't, you know, it's nothing out there that we can't catch. You know what I mean? Lasso that wish. Bring it down and make it come true. You know what I mean? We are every woman. It's all in us. We're the ones that make things happen. It's our destiny to make this a better place. Mother Earth is the woman. She's the one that makes things grow. Just like things grow inside us and we get a human being only when we do have a man. But we the one that produce a child onto this earth. Just like Mother Earth. You plant a seed, it grows into whatever you want to plant. We take care of the earth take care of us. I'm every woman. It's all in me. And that's the way we have to start feeling. This week I seen a movie. It was called Alice. I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to tell you about it, but it's a must-see movie. And if you don't come out thinking better about a woman after seeing that movie, then, you know, you need to maybe watch it again. Because we have been put down and made to be the lowest on the earth for so long that it's just time for us to pick us up, pick ourselves up from our bootstraps and say, we're not doing that no more. We're not letting men treat us the way they want. We're not letting society treat us the way they want to. We're not going to belittle ourselves. We are every woman. It's all in us. We got to start taking our worth. We have a lot of worth, but we don't think about it. We need to start writing down, you know what I mean, writing down the good things that we have about ourselves. Stop downing ourselves. Stop letting people tell us bad things about us. If somebody don't have something good to say, then I don't want to hear it because it's all about me. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, ain't nobody else going to be you. It's only, it's always said, it's only one you. It's only one you. So if it's only one of you, what you going to do to leave a mark on this earth that you were here? That's what we have to do. We have to let people know that we were here and we're still here. And, you know, I don't like talking about race, but this is Black History Month. And we need to let our women know that we're no longer going to be sitting on the sidelines. We are worthy. You know what I mean? I know a lot of us, and that's everybody have their own opinion and ways. We sit and we glamour ourselves up, you know, makeup, eyelashes, you know, all the things that we feel to make us feel good. But you're forgetting one thing. We always said, black is beautiful. We don't have to do that. We do, but we don't have to. Because God made us the color we are, and we carry our beauty every day. Every day we carry our beauty. See, some people have to put it on because they don't have color. But we have color. We wake up with color. We go to bed with color. All we can do, we can add more color and give us flavor. But we are beautiful already. But we got to start feeling it. You know what I mean? If we don't feel it, who we think going to feel it? You know how many years it took for America to start putting us on TV besides to make fun of us? We are beautiful people. And when we see each other, we got to start identifying and recognizing and think about it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we walk past each other. We don't even speak. We look the other way. Why is that? Why do we look the other way? That's a person that's looking just like you, and you don't even want to identify that's a person that came from the same stock you came from. We always talk about unity, togetherness, building up, getting together, doing things together, but we don't do the little things we need to do. We get together, we talk about each other. We get together, we talk about how bad, instead of going, helping out and saying, you know, look, sis, you know, that's not the way. Let me show you, or let me help you out. Sis, you okay? Is everything all right? You know, I may not have it, but I'll give you what I have. What happened to that? I'm every woman. It's all in me. So if it's all in me, what are we going to do about the rest of the people? We're going to just keep walking by, acting like we don't see another sister in distress, or even if we see a sister that's picked up, you know what I mean? Or are we going to talk about them, or are we going to embrace their success? Let me tell you a little story, because I'm going to have a couple people on tonight. When I was, I guess, 27, Oprah Winfrey came on TV for the first time. And let me tell you, this was the first time I ever seen a black woman that looked like me. Plus size, hair, but talked to us through the TV to let us know that it's okay to look like we do. It's okay to feel the way we do and to move forward. She showed us the way. She showed us its possibilities. I am woman. It's all in me. We got to stop downing ourselves. When we walk in the room, let it be known that we're walking in the room. Show your feathers like a peacock. I'm every woman. It's all in me. We said it in the 60s, black is beautiful. What happened to that? What happened to the black beauty? Why we got to now go and show our bodies, have our, you know, all our good access and cookies shown out to the world? We don't have to do that. Just put a nice outfit on. They're going to see it anyway. They've been seeing it for years. We don't have to flash ourselves. Men already know what we have. Because we're female and they're male, they already know what we have. We don't have to show them what we got. Let it be a secret. That's the essence of being a woman, the secret that we behold within ourselves, and we share it to who we want to share it to. We don't have to let the whole world know what we have. I'm every woman. It's all in me. Let's take back what was taken away from us, how people degraded us and made us feel that we were monkeys or creatures that they need to be. Just anything you wanted to do to us, you just did it without even thinking that we had a soul or a spirit or feelings or a heart. We are human. It's time for us to stop it. It's time for us to get it together. It's time for us to embrace our blackness as a woman on this earth in 2023. Tonight I have three women that I invited, that I want to talk to them in regarding being a person of color living in the time that we're living in now, that came from the past, and God bless them to be here in the future, the main ingredients that made them become who they are in this time in their life. So my first person I would like to speak to is Willie. Is she on the line? Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about Willie. Willie was one of my supervisors at my job when I first started. And I want to tell you, like I was telling you about I'm every woman, it's all in me. She embraced everybody that came into the building, and that's what I loved about her. She made you feel comfortable, and when she felt that you needed to be right or wrong or need to be told what to do, that you wasn't doing right, it didn't stop her from coming and pulling you to the side and saying, hey, girl, that's not good what you're doing, and maybe you should correct that, or maybe you need to think it over. Or she would join in and help you out, whatever you needed to be helped with, and say, you know, she let you know that even though she was higher, she wasn't too high not to come down and pick you up and say, come on, I'll show you. Let's work this out together. So, Wooly, Sage, I would like just for you to tell all the people that's listening how you felt from coming from the 60s to the 2000s. Have women changed? Are we the same? Or what ingredients do we need to make it further? Wooly.
Women have definitely changed from the 60s, of course. Women are doing a whole lot of different things these days, which is a beautiful thing out there. And the women are able to multitask, which is also, you know, that comes in handy at times, you know, if you're doing, going through life tasks, you know, just general things during the day, you know, this is always helpful. Women are strong and continue to be stronger, as we see, and whatnot. So it's a beautiful thing to be a part of this time in this day and age, being able to be a black president at one time in my lifetime. It's a beautiful thing.
Now, some of the things that we see as we go on in life, what do you think that some things that we as women need to let go and add to make it better as we move it forward?
You have to let go of some of those that negative feelings that you had, negative energy. That's not going to help you. That's just going to hold you back, hold you down. Get rid of all of that negativity and whatnot. You know, just be kind to one another.
Yeah, that's true. Now, as the young people, the ones that's coming out of college and coming, getting ready to graduate from high school, what's the one thing that if you could tell them that they could keep with them for the rest of their life, what's one message or one saying or something that you heard to help you to get to where you at, would you leave with them?
For them to embrace their blackness, embrace them. Embrace that, you know, and love yourself, you know, continue to love yourself and whatnot. It helps you to be stronger,
true,
you know. It helps you to be strong.
Yeah.
Be positive, you know, about, you know,
things. Yeah, because I remember when we worked together and most of the staff was of color. And I remember that sometimes we would not be who we supposed to be. And you would stand up and say, "Listen, this is a place of business. This is not a this is not a playground. This is a place that we have to be serious about. You know what I mean?
Serious.
If you feel that, and you used to tell us, if you feel this is not the place that you want to be and be serious, then you know you always said that's the door. Even though it's a sliding door, you said you could slide on out.
That's
you know
right.
What I mean? And
that's
And we knew that when you came out of that office, we had to stand at attention because we knew that
be on your feet,
we wasn't
your
doing
feet.
What we were
that's
supposed
right.
to do. That's right. And and not
bring
not
to
fear. Yeah, you didn't
show
us fear.
Let you be aware.
That.
You know, you're doing something that's not right. That's not correct. Come on. You know, this is your job. You know, people just don't realize that these days. And yes, the importance of a job, period. And how hard it is for some people to even get a job. You know, and to keep a job, you know, being there on time and the little things add up. Just people just don't understand
and
that.
Then,
you can't be let everything.
And then you used to always say, listen, I started where you was at.
That's right, at the bottom.
Now
started
I'm at
the bottom,
but,
and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't act like that I'm better than you. I started where you was at and had to work my way up.
That's right, doing the rec care. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
You know, you're never too
yep.
good to do the rec care. You're never too good to lend a hand, help somebody out, you know, even if you're just bringing them the lift or something like that. Just helping them move, help smooth their day along, you know, makes it easier for the next person. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
And we still take care of disabled adults and she was
handicapped.
Yeah, Tanda. I mean, she will always let us know, listen, we might be the most kindest person to them in their lifetime or at the moment. Don't lose that one moment of showing them kindness because you think this is just a job. It's about being kind and showing compassion to a person. And and I'm telling you, I look back at where I'm at now, and if it wasn't for the words that she instilled, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I mean, I've always thought I was a loving person, but thank you. But it's very difficult when you handling disabled.
You're being a supervisor also, so you're sad.
Yeah, and plus and with behavior, they have behavior.
Right. Yes, your clients,
So I want to thank you, Willie, so very much for joining me tonight. And I have to
thank
tell
you.
Everyone that's listening, it's nice when you could call on somebody and ask them to do something for you, and then they're there for you. That's what I'm saying about people and women. We got to start keeping our word. If you say, I'm going to do something for a person, do it, even if you can't do it. Because that person is dependent on you. And that's how we become a unity and a community. Yes, that's right. So I want to thank you so very much. You're welcome to keep listening to the rest of the show. And I welcome you to visit us at another time. Thank you, Willie.
All right.
Okay, my next guest is Kelly. How you doing, Miss Kelly?
I'm well, and yourself?
Good, good. Everyone, I would like for you to give applause and thank and welcome Miss Kelly to the show. I called her on, I called most people on short notice, but out of her busy day, she forgot something that she was supposed to do tonight, but she knows she had promised me that she was going to come on, and she still came, and that's what I'm talking about, a person of righteousness and trust and dependability that feel that if they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it, and that's when you know that when a person go out of their way for you, you not just a friend, but a person that believes in what you're trying to do. Miss Kelly is from Patterson, and she has a lot of projects that she does in Patterson. So before I ask you a couple of things, you could just tell them a couple of the projects that you hold in Patterson for people.
I am the CEO and director of Heart and Hand, the Women's Center. Heart and Hand, the Women's Center provides supportive services for families that are at risk of becoming homeless, that are homeless, and that's fleeing domestic violence. We're all about helping families relocate and from shelters or living in places not meant for human habitation to safe, affordable housing, affordable to the best of our ability now because the rents are off the roof. But we try to get people settled in, and we work with them for a couple of months after that to make sure that they are able to sustain housing and be self-sufficient.
Yes. And I was talking briefly to her a little earlier this week, and she was telling me that she always had a dream of pursuing a podcast. And I told her, well, come on, and, you know, listen to it and think about it, and maybe that could be your next thought, because this young lady right here, I see her all the time on, you know, Facebook, but I used to go to some of her workshops, and I have to actually say she works really hard and diligently for the black woman, but not just the black woman, for every woman. But I know that she really tries to work hard to help her women in Patterson. And when the times that I went, She always has somebody educational to talk to you, to better you or lead you in another way. Not talking about your bad circumstance, but to help you to get from where you was at to a better, like she just said, a better circumstance. And she works really hard, even though she works, she has her own family, and she has her own religion, but she still has time for the people in the community, that anyone, like she said, that needs help, that's not where they're supposed to be, not living the way they're supposed to be. She's there to try to help you. You don't get many people like that. So what made you decide, or what led you on that path that you use towards women?
God put the desire in my heart to help other women, basically because of my own lived experience with trauma, adversity, making a bunch of wrong decisions, trying to get right, can't get right type of thing, being in and out of unhealthy relationships, quitting high school, not getting a proper education, having a baby as a teenager, having parents who were heroin addicts, and being in a domestic violence relationship when I'm only 17 years old. So having all these different types of traumas and painful situations, and being able to work my way up out of it, understanding how difficult it is, how misunderstood I was, and just dealing with all of that, and just wanting to be able to encourage somebody else, you know, to get to the other side. If I can help somebody else get to the other side. And I just honestly believe that that passion and desire come from what God has placed within me.
Yeah, and I know, like you was, I had asked you a question earlier when we was talking, that if you had a chance to relive your life, what is one thing that you would change the path that you took?
If I had the one chance to relive my life, it would. If you know, all those bad situations and circumstances, that sort of kind of made me who I am, right? The one thing that I regret is not spending enough time with my children while I was building ministry, building Heart of Hannah, and, you know, building. I wish I would have took more vacations, had more dinners around the table, listen a little better. I have a good relationship with my children, thank God. I thank God every day for that. But I most definitely would have spent more family time as opposed trying to build a community. I would have still been involved in the community, but I would have gave my children just a little more time, because the thing about that is they become adults with their own families right before your eyes. They spend only a short while. When you look at the scope of life, most of the time, they spend a short time as children. And they spend more time, praise God, you know, if we're blessed in that way, they spend more time as adults than they being children. So we would have went to Disney World. We would have went, traveled the world. You know, my children's vacation, because I ain't know no better, was always going down south. You know, summer come, they down south for the summer. But we would have went. We would have went places, and we would have done some other things. I would have got an RV, and we would have traveled. You know, I just would have done things with my family a little bit different.
Okay, if you had to leave one saying or a piece of wisdom to the young girls that the ages that we were when we stepped into our journey in life, what would you leave with them?
You know what? My mother said something. to me when I was young. I turned around and said the same exact thing to my daughter, to my sister, to my nieces, to the women that I work with in the community. The same exact thing, right? And it ain't nothing grand or anything. My mother said to me, look, take care of your life and handle your business, because those, she didn't say the polite word, she said, those on that corner, they're going to be there when you finish taking care of yourself and taking care of your life. And one day, I was going to the store, and those same people that was hanging on that corner that I just had to be with, I ain't want to go to school, I ain't want to do this, and I ain't want to do that, all the things that I end up having to do later in life because I wanted to be hanging on the corner or hanging out with these people, they were still on that same corner, mind-blowing. And it still happened the same way now. Take care of your life, take care of your business, anything you want to do, anybody you want to hang out with, you can find them when you're done. But take care of your life and your business so that you can give your children and yourself a fair chance in life.
I know that you also live in Patterson like me. What can you tell us that you think that we as a people need to do, not to take back Patterson, but to let Patterson know that we're still here, we're still striving, and we still want to be a part of Patterson, and not just like our faces are invisible now?
Well, the one thing that puts us at a disadvantage is that we're not united. If we want our voices to be heard, we have to come together, because there's really strength and unity in the people that's the leadership in our community. They really pay attention to numbers. They don't care if people register voters or not. They just pay attention to the number, what it looked like, the illusion of it all. And so we have to come together, and we have to really support it and be unified. If we unified ourselves, black people still have the greatest voting block in the city. Don't believe the hype and look out and think because you see a large number of other people that our votes don't matter. Our votes matter. It makes a difference. And we still determine who's going to win the election when we vote. And we have to be mindful of that. But we have to come together. And those people that's in charge, they got us forgetting about those of us that's on the bottom. You know, we have a tendency to have this big divide, but we all got to come together.
Yeah, and I think that what you feel as far as, like, I think we should start holding our council people and the mayor accountable, because we see them out there, and don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not living their lives, or I'm not living next to them, or I'm not being with them every day. You know, it's just my opinion that they have to start seeing that if you're up there, and like you said, if God blessed you with a vision to be somewhere that it was a time where we would never have even been, then you should show some, like, give back. Give back for the people that never had a chance to be where they at now, and show that, you know, I'm here, and I'm going to let my people know I'm here, and I'm going to do something to show them that we're here. Do you kind of feel almost that way, or do you feel another?
We have to pray and ask God to touch the heart of the king, because, like, we can't demand people to be righteous. We have to pray and ask God to touch the heart of the people and make the people righteous, to make people care about another person. You know, it almost feels like every man is for himself. But that's only in the black community, because other communities stick together. And so is the answer in the politician, or is the answer in us, the people? How do us, the people, come together? Because if we, the people, the power is in the hands of the people. If we, the people, come together, then we can demand what we want from our elected officials. The reason why we can't demand is because we're not together.
Yeah, that's true. It's so sad that, because I'm older than you, but I remember that it was a time when stores and we had our record shops that we went and hung to and hung at, and we had parks that we could go and we could chill at, and but we don't even have that. I remember the thing was you drive around the park and you socialize before you went home, but we don't even have that no more. Now you go to the park, it's people getting high or people doing things that got nothing to do otherwise but hang out, and it's just sad because we were united at one time.
Yep. And you know what? And it made a difference. You know, I'm 55, so I remember the days when we did have that, when we could ride around Eastside Park. And, you know, it's a whole different discussion, but, you know, crack hit our communities and changed our community, and we're still trying to recover from that because our people was getting out of here. They were selling off everything. They didn't want to be here no more. And so now how do we gain momentum and how do we get that back? You know, how do we pull ourselves together and come together? You know, we are remnant. I feel that my feeling is that we're a remnant. We're what's left. So how do we, the ones that's left behind, how do we pull ourselves together, you know, and become united so that we can have a piece of the pie that's here too? The pie was built on the shoulders of our loved ones.
Yeah, because I meet quite a few people that, you know, as you get to talking, and it'd be like, oh, where you live? And I'll say Patterson. And it'd be like, they'd make sure nobody's around. It'd be like, yeah, I grew up in Patterson, but I live whatever. And I'm like, it's so sad that if you grew up in Patterson, why would you be ashamed of the place that you grew up in? You know what I mean? Like, I've been in Patterson my whole life. I never lived anywhere else. And let me tell you, I've seen good, I've seen bad, but you know what? I still have faith in Patterson. You know what I mean? Like, I could go anywhere, like you said, the kids, I could go anywhere, but you know what? When I hit Route 80 and I get on exit 59, I know I'm home where my family at, and where I grew up at. I could walk the street or go to a store and I'll see somebody I went to school with or I used to work with, or they remember me or one of your neighbors or a school teacher. It's your home. You can't let your home go by saying, oh, I don't want nobody to know I grew up in Patterson. Because the same town that you moved in to get away from Patterson is people that lived there that got away from there too, because every town has their good and bad. You know what I mean? It's what you make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It was good talking to you, and thank you for coming to the show and telling your story. And I hope that your story may help someone out there that's maybe going through the same things that you experience in life, and also taking some of the experience that you're moving forward. And as you said, Heart of Hannah. Anybody
uh-huh.
out feels that they're at the crossroad that she was talking about, reach out. She's telling you. That's where she's helping women to get where they want to be. So don't sit back and say, oh, I don't got no help. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Oh, there's nobody. She's telling you right now, that's one organization she got that can help women. And maybe through her, you can find another organization. It's things out there, but you got to look for them. Nothing's going to sit in your lap and make you move to another journey in life or another place in life. You have to get up and walk to that place. I always think about Harriet Tubman. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about the Bible, but the prodigal son went and spent all his money. And then when he lost it, he had to go work taking care of pigs and eating food from in the pig pen. And then he sat there and he thought about it, and he said, my father got a good house. My father got food. My father got people working for him while I'm sitting here living with pigs. And what he did, he got up smelling like a pig, dirty and nasty, and came. And then when his father seen him, his father ran to him, hugged him, told his servants to go dress him, wash him up, fed him good food. Because it's not about where you at. It's about loving people that they came back, and they came back in a different form. He's now renewed because he know there's nobody out there that want to take care of you and going to be there for you. He knew his father would still love him. And that's what we got to do. We got to love ourselves to know that we don't have to live or partake or go around being other than ourselves, because God has promised us abundance in life. And if you don't go and get one of them boxes that he have a room for with your name on it, they might have gifts and blessings that you didn't decide you wanted to pick on because you was living another type of life, foolish on you, because at the end of life, when he shows you all the boxes that you did not open because you were squandering your time instead of getting the things that he has for you, then you can't blame no one but yourself. So,
right.
Once again, I want to thank you, and you're always welcome to come back. I'm open on Thursdays from 8 to 9, and I have one more person I need to speak to, and thank you very much, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you.
Okay, I have one more person that's listening, and they're ready to come on. 5814. You can push 1. Five, eight, one, four.
No, I don't see that number.
Okay, she said she was listening. You can also call my phone, and I can let you in.
You want to go to a quick song?
No, we could do 2706.
One second, you got a caller. 8555, you live.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hey.
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Enjoying the show, you know. Enjoying the show. The sisters, you know, were very insightful. You know, you handled yourself well. I'm proud of you, as usual. And, you know, the topics are, you know, right on point. You know, just wanted to, you know, let you know that I'm here, you know, giving my support. And, you know, especially, you know, what you guys were talking about, us unifying, you know, that's one of our flaws, not being able to unify. But, you know, there's reasons for that we're going to have to work on, that we're going to have to, you know, be able to accept and unlearn some of the stuff that we once learned to be able to do that. And it's going to take some time, but, you know, we just got to keep the faith and, you know, do what we got to do.
I want to ask you a question on a male point of view. Today I was talking about black women. And since you are a black man, what reason do black men, why are they so hard on black women? Like, we are so, you know, we have bad qualities, but we are, out of many women, we try so hard to make things better for our families and for ourselves. Why is it that it's hard for black men to just get on the bandwagon and do what they need to do?
I think it's a misunderstanding when it comes to each other, and a misconception about each other, because I think black men be hard on black women because they think that black women be extra hard on them. So they're reciprocating an emotion that they receive from the black woman. I think that's what's happening more times than not. And I think, you know, we as men and women don't communicate enough with each other. And when we do, we're not listening to each other, and we're taking what one another says, how we feel, rather than what the person actually meant. I think that's what's happening with us.
Okay, so do you think it's a communication problem that we don't communicate to each other in the right way, getting through to the other partner that they really know where we're coming from, or we just put icing on it and think that it's going to be okay later on, not being real?
Well, I think it's both of those. I think sometimes we're reluctant to be truthful because we are not sure what the reaction is going to be. And then other times I think it's the miscommunication. It's as I said earlier, when we say something to a person, whoever says it know what they mean. The other person doesn't really know until you make yourself clear. And sometimes the clarity is not made clear enough. So it's like if I say, look, what you're doing, I have a problem with. But all I want you to do is strive to work on this, And soon as I get what you do have a problem with, it's already, I have a problem with what you do. So now what I even said, it went to the wayside, because now you're attacking me with your problem that you have towards me, rather than us dealing with whatever it is I have towards you and coming to a conclusion of, okay, a compromise of, okay, this is how we're going to deal with this. And then saying to me, well, I also have something that I want you to work on, that type of thing. So I think that's what's happening to us too often, and that's how come we're still having issues. And now once somebody's feelings get hurt, that hurt feeling becomes anger. Now I'm angry. Now if I'm angry, I want to hurt you, because you hurt my feelings. Now I want to hurt your feelings. And I think that's what we're doing to each other. We're hurting each other out of pain that sometimes it's reciprocated from the person that you're with. Other times it's from past relationships. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Thank you. That was great. Actually, I would like to really have you on one of my shows for a man point of view. I do have a couple more callers. I don't want to cut you off. It's
okay.
Been a pleasure.
Oh, that's fine.
Always. I'm sure that you touch a lot of people with your wisdom. And enjoy the rest of the night, and you can always cue back in. And thank you once again for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Thank you for joining us. We've been looking forward to hearing from you. I know it was a little hard for you to get your start. Thankful that you joined us. This is Jocelyn, one young lady that's very, how can I say it, she loves her town. She loves her family. She loves her friends. She loves her, the people that she be around, her job. She's a loving person. She tries to help anybody she can. And I just wanted to have her on my show because she has so much input and insight. She'll tell you quickly. If she sees something in Patterson, she'll call that out. What is this? What's going on?
Right.
Why we got to see this? Why this is out here? And I just love that about her because she's in the moment. She want to let you know that it's not acceptable. So I just want to get a little bit of your input and let everyone know why you have so much fire in your soul for Patterson and for being a family person and just growing up in Patterson, Jocelyn.
Well, Jocelyn. I'm going to start off by, I apologize for tuning in so late. Like I said, something happened. My parents came down to visit. But, you know, I was born and raised in Patterson, went to the schools here in Patterson, and I'm now raising my children here in Patterson. And I work in the city of Patterson. So for me, growing up as a kid and remembering how life was and how it is now, a lot of times it just bothers me to see how things are happening or how things are turning out. You know, we have to depend on the people that we vote in these seats to make changes, and then a lot of times the changes don't take place. And so, you know, a lot of those things bother me. And, yes, I do speak soon as something happens. I feel like if that's what we put them there for, they're near there to fix whatever it is that needs to be fixed. I was listening to Kelly and your conversation. I came in a little late, but I was so happy to hear that y'all touched on some of the things that has been bothering me lately. And for me, because I work in the city of Patterson, so I deal with the community, and I'm not a prejudiced person. I love all. But to see how our, I want to say culture maybe, or our race is kind of disappearing. And I'm not understanding how we are allowing this to happen. I heard you say back in the days, you know, we had the record shops and we had different places that we owned businesses. And now if you look in Patterson, we own really nothing. Lately, I've been having a question. I actually spoke to a couple of important people in the city and to actually have a round table because I wanted to find out how is it that we have allowed a culture to come in and just basically take over and own everything. And we are nowhere. We're not in the supermarkets. We're not in the stores. I remember when I was young, I worked in Dr. J's downtown Patterson. When you go downtown Patterson, do you see any of us? Do you see any of our young kids? When I was young, 13, 14, when I could get my working papers, you know, you went downtown. You know, you went to the supermarkets. You applied. You worked in these stores just to, you know, you worked at McDonald's. Now you don't even see our children, you know, working in these places. And it started to affect me because now my daughter is 16 and she's looking for work. And everywhere you go, you either have to be bilingual. Well, guess what? We're in a place where English is the language that's supposed to be spoken. So what's happening? What's happening to that? Like, why are we as people just allowing this to happen? Keep hearing from all the people that I have spoken to so far is we don't stick together. You know, that's all I keep hearing is we don't stick together. And something has to be done. Like, you know, how are we still shopping in these stores and giving these stores money and you don't have somebody that looks like you. You go in the supermarket and you ask, where's the bread? And the person can't even say to you, it's in aisle two. They have to go find somebody that speaks English to be able to speak to me. But I'm in Patterson, where, you know, in the United States, where English is like the first language. And so I guess, you know, lately it's been bothering me. Then even with my job, like, you know, a lot of times they don't even want to speak to me, you know, because I don't speak Spanish. But you're coming here for a service. You should be, back in the days, you know, parents, if they didn't speak English, they brought their kids with them. You know, they took, when they had to go to the school, they brought somebody with them. Now it's like we cater to them to where they feel like they entitled to this. So I just need to know, or I have questions on, when is this going to change? And aren't we tired of hearing people say we as a culture don't stick together?
Yes, you're right with that. All I have to say is that and I don't want to say anything bad either, but as you live on this earth, it comes a time where every nationality has their 5 minutes of fame. And the people that you're talking about, this is their time right now. And it's going to come a time when it's not going to be happening for them either. But see, they don't know that yet. See, that's what happened to the black people. That's what happened to the Irish people. That's what happened to the Italians. If you ask all the other nationalities, they'll tell you it was good for them. It was good for them. And then something happened. I don't want to talk outside our race because it's not a show about that right now. But as someone spoke a little earlier on the show, the institutions, they allow certain things to get rid of other situations. And then when that situation, when those people get to be too big for themselves, then they knock them down too. So you don't have to worry about what's going on in Patterson because they have it. They got their 5 minutes of whatever is going on, but it's not going to last because, see, remember, all in all, no matter how long this United States been here, it's still owned by the same people. And they're never, you hear me? They're never going to let no one take over besides them. So they're giving them the 5 minutes of whatever they got going on. And I know that it's a lot because let me tell you, you're right. I remember working and one of my bosses came and told me that I wasn't allowed to speak slang. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he's like, I heard you talk slang while you was talking to a customer. But see, my parents was from the South. So, of course, I had a dialect because I grew up with parents that talk Southern. So then I had to learn how to talk like personality. And I had to talk proper. And I had to learn to say the right words. But I shouldn't have had to do that because that was my culture. Why did you take my culture away? And you're right. We have to go now, and when we call someone, we got to hear Spanish first. When we get online to ask for help, we're standing in the line for 15 minutes while they translate. And then when we get the next, then they want to rush us away. Or we can ask them and it's not just Spanish. It's other nationalities, same thing. We ask, they don't understand. But, you know, I just don't understand that. How could you come to America and you can't speak English? How did you sign the application? How did you get there? How did we get there? Okay, can you hear me? Because somebody said they can't hear me. Somebody, did you hear me?
I think the call was dropped.
Okay, so let's go on to the next call.
All right, 1 second. Oh. 5814, you live. 5814.
Any other calls?
No, that's it.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone. It's been a pleasure, my second show. I hope that it was just as inspiring as the first show, and I promise you that I have more surprises and expectations that we want to expect of each other coming. I'm so happy that I was able to bring on the people that I had tonight. I thank them all, Willie, Kelly, and Jocelyn, for coming on tonight and explaining, as like the we heard from the beginning, I'm every woman. It's all in me. Oh, and I forgot about, I'm sorry, the gentleman that we had, Andre. But I just want to leave this with you. We are a people that's been on this earth for thousands of years or even hundreds of years. We're not going anywhere. We got to stop worrying about what other people are doing, and we just got to do us. If we worry about other people and what's going on, when we miss the point. The point is that that's them. We've been there. We all had our chance. They're not getting no more than the chance that we had. And if you live this life and you don't do the right things while you're up there, it's not going to even be worth it, because you got to remember, we all born the same way and we all die. So at the end of the day, when it's our time to go, it don't even matter what color you are, because we're going to leave here. So let's be joyous, happy, and let's just move forward and just accept the blessings that God has waiting for us. We're good people. We're surviving people. We didn't get here just to be here. We don't walk around with this color for nothing. We walk around with this color for to be noticed. This is a color that we've been noticed. When we walk in a room, they know us, okay? We don't have to speak another language for you know who we are. You know who we are. We are people of color, and we got to start knowing our worth, and we got to start loving on each other. You know what I mean? We don't have to write a sign across our chest. We got to start wearing it in our heart. And we got to let people know that we're here. We're here. So I look forward to hearing from everyone next week. If I didn't get a chance to hear from someone, please don't stop. Call next week. I'll let you in. Sorry I didn't get a chance to hear you. But I hope that everyone got something out of the show tonight. And I want everyone to have a beautiful weekend. Looking forward to next week. We enter into a new month. February is gone. And hopefully we have new blessings coming our way. If not, just good weather. So I close out and thank everyone. And especially the source that comes, that wake us up every morning, our Father in heaven, for giving me this chance to speak to people and maybe give some clarity of what the Lisa experience is all about. Thank you.